Is on this mic?
Yeah.
Is that good? All right. I usually move around, so I'm going to be anchored to this thing. It makes me nervous a little bit, you know? So good morning, everybody. I hope that you've had a good morning. The devil was fighting me here. I'll be honest with you. I got to loosen my tie, first of all. Does that bother anybody if I do that? Is that okay? I have three chins, and two of them get squeezed when I'm preaching, so. We are driving here this morning, and I'll just be honest with you. I think it's devilish the way you have to slow down to like 3 miles an hour to go through these towns. Like really, the sign said strictly enforced. Violators will be tased, shot, and dragged to jail for the rest of your life. And I'm just thinking, how do you keep up with that? One of my sons said, I'm going to get out of the car and just walk to church. It's ridiculous. That was unbelievable. I don't know how you do that. And Brother Joe, I mean, it's Sunday morning. The devil's looking for some way to get in. And the devil would be in every single morning trying to get here, especially those of you, how many of you know Sunday morning is amazing with little kids. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'll get that on, brother. Thank you so much. I just don't want to wear that headset. I feel like I'm in a boy band and I should be dancing around and stuff. I love you, Brother Jesse, wherever you are. I'm telling you, man, I was preaching at a revival a couple weeks ago, and I'm up in the pulpit like this. Am I on, brother? Test, there we go. I'm in the pulpit like this, and they bring me that headset like that, and I just thought, I don't know if I can wear this. And the whole time, it's like having a little booger on your nose right there. I'm sorry, I said booger yesterday. I'm going to be in trouble. Pastor Ron was never going to have me back, so amen. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here this morning, so praise the Lord. And we've loved it. I want to say, Faith, I know that there's a lot of people that you guys could have come in and preach, and I thank you so much for having me to come in and do this. Me and Trisha both, we're just honored to be here and have the kids here. We love this place. I mean it. And when Samson was talking last night just about how the Lord has used this in our home, it really has. Brother, if you'll turn me up just a little bit, I don't want to deafen them, but if I can't hear myself, I just push a little bit more. So, but I do want to say thank you so much. April has had us in our home. There's been 12 people in April's house. Yeah, 12 people. She has a dog that's like the size of a large horse. Have you guys ever seen that dog? It's unbelievable. My little two-year-old, she'll just jump on her back, on the dog's back, start riding around. Then she has this little dog called Tiny. Has anybody else seen Tiny? Tiny is just this little thing, and it just runs around, and its eyes, have y'all ever seen, I'm sorry, I got to get to preaching here, I promise, Pastor. All right, have y'all ever seen Moana? Has anybody seen Moana, that movie? I have kids. We watch Disney movies all the time. Sorry if you think I'm wicked, all right? But we watch Moana, and it's got that chicken with the googly eyes and all that. You know, what's that chicken's name? Hey Hey, yes, Hey Hey. Tiny reminds me of Hey Hey, you know? Hey Hey takes his head and they'll put a little bit of food in front of him in the movie and he'll just sit there and tap the ground next to it and they're like, okay, and they move it around. Yeah, right there. And Tiny reminds me of Hey Hey with those funny eyes. I just feel like an eyeball is going to fall out at any point. I'm like, Tiny, help yourself. I just duct tape his eyes in. I thought it'd help, but then he bumped into stuff. So, Jonah chapter 3. It's good to be here this morning. Hey, don't you love being in church? I mean, would you want to be anywhere else? I mean, not just on a Sunday morning. Look, we've been in church all weekend. I mean, I didn't drag myself in here this morning. You know, honestly, man, I was excited to get back here this morning. And so I'm excited. And a couple of you last night, Brother Samson was having people go around and give testimonies a little bit, and boy, what a blessing last night's service. I was glad to be in it. I was glad to be here, and I really mean that. And so what I'm going to preach on this morning, a couple of you said that you were thankful for yesterday. And so Jonah chapter 3, we're going to read through really the whole chapter. There's 10 verses here. And so I want you to stay with me as I read. Before I do that, though, let me pray. Lord, I love you and I praise you this morning. God, I pray that you'd show up in this Sunday school class. I mean it. This is not just we relax through Sunday school and relax through Sunday morning like we've had enough church. God, we need more of it, God. And so I pray this morning that you would just help me as I preach, God, and help me to help them. I mean, I'm honored and privileged and undeserving to stand here this morning. And God, I pray just remove all flesh. God, may they forget my name. May they forget anything done by flesh here in this service. God, may we just uplift your son, Jesus, today, God. And Lord, we welcome you in this place. I want more of it, God. I don't want it to just be Saturday night service was good. I want Sunday morning service to be good. I don't just want to say, man, we saw God show up Friday night and Thursday night. God, I want you to show up in this place again today, Lord. I know that a number of us got to get on the road today, but God, I pray for tonight's service, Lord. I pray you blow the lid off this place, God. And I pray that you'll just use us as the preachers, use us as the hearers, God. I mean that. Help me to be a listening vessel today. May I grow and mature, Lord. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Cody preach in a few minutes, God. And I pray that you'll have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Here we go. Listen quickly. I'm going to read quickly. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Got that? How many times you needed a second time there? You need the Lord to come back by. Look at that. I'm going to preach this morning on second chances. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God had commissioned Jonah back in chapter 1. He ran from that commissioning, but yet God still called him back. And look here, hey preachers, God called him back and said this, preach. Do you follow me on that? Look, he said, I want you to get back to the job that I originally called you to do. Look at verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. I know you have a Bible scholar here. I mean that. Pastor Ryman knows Bible well. And so no doubt he's expressed this to you, Faith Baptist Church. But when it says an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, that meant that it took about 3 days to walk across that city. That's a big city. And I want you to understand that as I preach through this, the magnitude of what happened in Nineveh when Jonah preaches here in a few minutes. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, just a handful of words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the power of God was on this message. Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Look at verse 6. For the word came unto the king, wow, of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in the ashes. Look down at verse 10 for time's sake. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I think as we read through Jonah a lot of times as we're looking at this, that we are mistaken about what this story is about. Many of you have no doubt decorated your house, your children's rooms with the little guy and the fish and the whale and whatever it may be. And when we look at this, story here, a lot of times we look at it and we believe that it is about a prophet that ran from God, and it's not. Stay with me now. I know I just read that, but I want you to stay with me. I think that we read about it and we think it's about a prophet who ran from God. We think it's about a bunch of men on a ship and a storm blew in, and we believe that it's about those sailors in the story. It's not about that. Matter of fact, it's not even about a whale, to be honest with you. I know that those details are in here, but look here. This story is about a God of second chances. Are you following me on that? So don't get lost on the details. Right. What this is about is this is a story that God allowed out of all the stories to be recorded in the Old Testament. And there's a pile of them. God chose this particular story to say this. Christian, I give second chances. Teenagers in here, can I be real clear? Your youth pastors, your youth pastors' wives, your youth workers, your pastors, your deacons, the people that run your church, the reason they're still in the ministry today is because they have learned, listen here, that God is a God of second chances. The devil comes by and convinces us that we've done such wrong and our testimony could never be used and things have become so bad in our lives. And I'm here to tell you this is, look, listen to me. God allows second chances in your life. Amen. Use them. Amen. Can I tell you why? Listen to me. Can I tell you how I'm still in church today? Because I've needed a second chance on my fifth chance. Yes,
You follow me? I've needed a second chance on my 10th chance. Yeah. Are you, don't let me lose you this morning. Right. I've needed a second chance on my 152nd chance. Yeah. And God is a God that forgives us and says, look, I'm not done with you. There's, Pastor Ryman, there's not a young person. There's not an adult. There's no one in this room that God is done with yet. Not a one of you. There's not one. It doesn't matter where you are today. God has still given you breath. God has still given you, watch this, chance to live for him. And you say, but it's in such a place in my life that I've come to you through. You know why this is so good this morning? You know why I believe that this is the message for this morning? Because I see young people in meetings all over the place all the time that they come and get fired up. And very quickly it burns out. And I don't even want to talk about that necessarily this morning. But some of you, you've been to so many youth rallies and been fired up so many times that, listen to me, you're going to leave this place and think, I've already tried that and I failed. Right, you have. But guess what? Here's another second chance.
Amen.
How many teen camps you been to and then you blew it? God right now says, I'm giving you another chance. How many youth rallies have you been to and you've just thought, man, on fire for God, I'm doing it this time, and yet you went back and you get back in that public school. Look, the pressure's real.
Yeah.
The pressure's real. Young ladies, if you're going to dress right, your skirt should go to your knees. You should be proper. Are you following me on this? Listen, young men, you shouldn't be half dressed at the beach. You follow? I know I'm meddling now, man. I lost y'all. Brother Samson's with me. Thank you, Brother Samson. Listen to me. We should dress right. And you get back into that environment, and man, that pressure is on. And I follow it. I completely understand. And you feel like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I, Brother Jason, I've blown it so many times. I made decisions on that altar last night. I know that I stood in the presence of God last night. I know that God was speaking to me. But Brother Jason, I've tried, and I've tried to do right, and I have failed. Listen to me. God's given you another second chance today.
Amen.
You say, why should I take the second chance? Can I tell you why you should take the second chance? Because there is a Nineveh that is destroying itself outside of these walls, and they need a Jonah. And look at me, and it's not Samson. It's not Brother Cody. It's not Brother Jason. It's not Brother Josh. It's not Pastor Ryman. Look here. It's you. And Nineveh needs you.
Amen.
Teenagers get it in their heads that, man, I've blown it so many times. Do you know, you have such means nowadays for secret sin. There is such, look, let me give you a couple of the issues that you're having. Sure, we know about the cell phone. We had to deal with four teenagers because of cell phones again just days before youth rally. Cell phones. I understand that, but listen to me. Many of you, your parents just quit raising you, man. And I'm not here to attack your parents. I'm not. I feel for you. My heart's broken for you. And as a matter of fact, before we attack your parents, listen to me. They were raised by a different generation that began disconnecting. They weren't taught the right way to raise kids. You understand me? I mean that. Something began to change back in the 1920s and 1940s and 1960s, 1980s. Things were adjusting in this country. And so parents today, I ain't attacking your parents. But can I tell you what? You're trying to figure out this thing called life when the Bible says nurture and admonition is what we should be investing in your life. And a lot of you, listen to me, because you're trying to figure all this out, you have such means for secret sin in your life that no one knows about. Miss Trisha here last year was dealing with a young lady who's in our youth group. Just a quiet young lady. Goes out on soul winning with us and usually just knocks the doors and lets somebody else do the talking, and we're proud of her, man. She's a good kid. But Trisha last year just sent some, she's bothered by some stuff. And so I believe it was right around youth rally. I think it was after a church service one night, and Trisha brought her into the men's choir room, and they just sat and they talked. And finally, the little girl said, "You know what? I just want to be honest with you. I don't believe I'm saved." So Miss Trisha, praise the Lord, led her to the Lord right there in the choir room. And they just kept talking and talking after that. And that little girl's got good parents, man. They're good people. I could call on her dad right now, man. He's into some UFC fighting stuff and boxing. Just a good guy. And you know what? Listen to me. She said, "I know my parents loved me, but I walk in that front door." You listen to me, parents, and you listen to me good. I know I'm talking to the teenagers. But she said, I walk in the front door, and I walk straight through the living room and into my room, and I just shut the door. She said, I just stay there all night long, plug in my earbuds, and listen to music. Just completely disconnected. Disconnected. And that those parents will come by if she gets in trouble. She's been a relatively good kid, man. We haven't had to deal with a lot. But we see this dangerous scenario so many times. And look here. A lot of times when those teenagers, I'm sorry I'm making that ringing noise, I'll back up. A lot of times those teenagers, when something comes out terrible about it, you know what the parents say? I didn't even know. I didn't even realize it. I didn't know. And you know why? Because that teenager, now look here. I'm not giving you grounds to go out and live in secret sin. I'm not. But listen to me. That young lady's just trying to make it through a day. Brother Cody, in her mind, she's just saying, I haven't given my life over to God. I don't have my parents that are trying to get a hold of me and help me and teach me and raise me. They've left it to her Sunday school teacher, yeah. Miss Trisha. They've left it to the pastor. They've left it to the Wednesday night preaching. And can I say this? Listen to me. That little girl's trying to figure out life. So at 18 years old, she bolts. Now, she didn't do that, but this is the scenario. 18 years old, that little girl bolts because some young man came by and said, you sure are pretty. And yeah. You're not. You're ugly. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. You're beautiful. Okay, you're beautiful. I love that hair, too. But look here. He smells good too, girls, I'm just saying. Right? But you know what ends up happening is this, listen, she's trying to figure it out, and by the time the parents get in on that scenario, guess what it is? She's 18. And there's been something going on in her heart since she was 15 years old, living in that cell phone, being raised by people on social media. Secret sin going on in there. Listen to me. She's a Jonah, and there's a Nineveh that needs her.
Yep. Right.
And we'll get to our, hey, look, we'll get to our some points in our lives, and suddenly we start thinking it's too late. You may right now, your life may be consumed with secret sin. Let me tell you what. This right now, God is saying, I'm giving you another chance.
Amen.
I've needed it so many times. Pastor Ryman has needed second chances so many times. Those of you that are from other churches, your pastors have figured out that God forgives us. Do you understand me? Can I tell you why so many people get out of the ministry? Teenagers, you listen to me this morning. Right now, you may not be loaded down with secret sin. You may not be on the brink of giving up on God. But let me tell you, God's going to take your life, going to use you. Will you make it across the finish line for God? And if you're going to cross the finish line, then here's what you got to figure out. You got to figure out that God's going to give you all kinds of second chances. You got to figure it out. Jonah figured it out. Jonah figured it out. Two things this morning. Two things. Stay with me. You're doing good. First thing is this. We can get a second chance on our definition. On our definition. You say, what do you mean? Do you know, Jonah in himself, listen to me. Jonah knew the failures that he had committed. Jonah knew that he had run from God. Jonah, watch this. Jonah blew his testimony and put the lives of all of those sailors at jeopardy. Are you following? Watch now. Watch now. Jonah had put other people's lives at danger. Jonah had run from the voice of God that had called him. Jonah committed all kinds of sins. But if you would have been able today to step onto the streets of Nineveh, watch now, If you were able to step back in time after Jonah had showed up and you said, excuse me, sir, could I ask you about someone? And that man with a smile on his face, see, that man's changed. God did something in their town here recently. That man's changed. Rather than threatening you, rather than robbing you, rather than cussing you out, that man would have said, yes, you can speak to me. What's going on? And he would have said, what do you think about the man Jonah? You know what he'd start to do? He'd start to tear up. And he'd start to say, you know what? I'm an alcoholic. And I've been battling with that for years. But that man Jonah showed up in our town, spoke just a couple of brief words. That struck our whole town's heart. It struck our king's heart. And I tell you what, I would only be able to define Jonah as a faithful man of God. Now, if you would ask Jonah, Jonah said, oh, I'm a failure, man. You kidding me? I ran from God. I swam around in fish guts for 3 days. I am a failure. And you know what those people all across Nineveh, you know what they would have said? They would have said, that's one man of God that changed our home.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Brother Joe, they didn't know him as anything else, just as a faithful man of God. Do you know what? Hey, listen to me, youth workers. I don't tell my garbage from when I was a teenager to my children. I don't even want them to know about it. Amen. They don't even hear about it.
Amen.
I don't want them to know anything about it, honestly. Now, I'm not getting on you for whatever you've passed along to your children, but here's all, I just want my children to know the years where I've tried to serve God. Do I fail them in front of my children? Absolutely, I do. But can I tell you what? Listen to me. I'm trying to define myself as a Christian in front of them. Do you follow me this morning?
Amen.
And let me tell you what. Yes, you may have blown it in front of some sailors. Well, not really. But you may have blown it in front of some people. Jonah blew it in front of those sailors. Those sailors thought, oh my goodness, we don't want to do it. But if we're going to save our lives, we've got to toss them overboard. Those sailors, if you asked him about it, they'd say, oh, we know Jonah, but let me tell you what. Let me tell you, he did this. We all almost died because of him. Sure, look here. You've blown it in front of some people. And the devil's going to come by and say, you've blown it to such a degree, you can never recover it. And let me tell you what. There was a Nineveh out there that if you brought up that name, Jonah, they'd say, he saved our home. There's probably some people, Pastor Rahman, that if we walk back to the streets where you grew up, they could tell us all kinds of stories. But you know what? There's a church out here that all they know is just your faithfulness. That's it. And when, hey, listen to me. When he got saved, he could have said, my testimony is so terrible, God can never do anything with it. And instead of that, you know what he said? He said, I might have blown it, God. I don't know if you can ever do anything with me, but I want you to use me.
Amen.
Was it not sobering to have Brother Samson just have all those people stand up? And it was life after life after life after life that was touched. And let me tell you what, God used that Jonah right there. God used that Jonah right there. I wouldn't know who Danny Castle was. I wouldn't know who New Manna Baptist Church was. I wouldn't know what New Manna Youth Rally was. Wouldn't know what teen camp was. Wouldn't know what camp meeting was. I wouldn't know about nothing in Marion, North Carolina, where God is using us and has, by his grace and by the privilege that God has given us the last 13 years. If that man hadn't pulled his bus through a little place called White Plains, Maryland, and picked up a little girl named Trisha McGraw and took her down to teen camp. Listen to me. But it took a Jonah that said, I may be defined by some as a failure. I may be defined by some who I have blown it for God. But I'm going to do everything I can to be defined differently for the rest of my life. You can start today changing your definition. You can start today. You say, Brother Jason, why do I need to do that? Because there's a Nineveh. And they need a Jonah. They need a Jonah. And you're it. You're it. Nobody else. Not the person on your right, not the person on your left. No one can reach your cousins like you can reach your cousins.
Right.
No one can reach your grandparents like you can reach your grandparents. No one can reach your classmates like you can reach your classmates. God puts you there. There's not a bell that doesn't ring in your school. There's not one invite that you get to go stay in a friend's house. There's nothing that God is not ordaining, because he's sending a Jonah to that desk, to that house, to that place. It's you.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
It's you.
Amen.
But you know what you're going to have to learn? That you may have blown it, but God's giving you a second chance today.
Amen.
How are you defined right now?
Come on, bro.
Hey, look in here. Hey, parents, how many times have you had to apologize for that dirty, rotten attitude you carry around?
Oh, yeah.
Do it again today. Yeah. Hey, you may be raising Jonah. Well, look here. We may be raising Jonah in our home. And I need to teach my sons and my daughters that God forgives rather than, you know what, I failed so much, I quit. Then you know what you're doing? You're affecting a whole pile of Jonas that may just learn this lesson. When I fail so much, I just quit. Let me tell you what, we've had plenty of people teach our generation that. This generation that's sitting in this room right now, you teenagers, listen to me. You've had so many people show you that when, man, it gets bad enough, and if I failed God enough, I quit.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you today is, listen to me. I don't care who's showed you that. You are Jonah, and there's a Nineveh that needs you out there.
That's right.
What's your definition? Right now, how are you defined? How are you defined in front of your friends? How are you defined in front of your family? Let me read you this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I love this verse.
Oh, yeah.
Saith the Lord. Hey, look, I like the verses. Hey, listen, I like the verses where it clearly says God is saying, I am speaking.
That's right.
You understand? I understand this is the word of God, brother. I'm not trying to take away. There's nothing in here that's not, but I like where God says, hold on, time out. I'm saying this, and I just am going to remind that mind of yours that it's me. Thus saith the Lord, okay? Read on to that verse there. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you what? An expected end. God has a start and a finish to your life, and I want to tell you this, is listen to me. He wants you to go all the way. He wants you to go all the way. Teenagers, listen to me. Learn to take your second chances. I can't express to you enough. Pastor Ryman, we've been around these teenagers for so long, and we know the cycle. I know the youth rally cycle.
Yeah.
I know.
Right.
Brother Cody, I know it.
Yes.
And I'm just speaking plain to you right now. And some of you threw another log on the fire last night, rekindled some things in your heart. And I just can't express to you enough to go back and say, I might have blown it a million times, but I'm taking this second chance again. I'm going to do the best I can. We have a little app on our phones. And Pastor Rami, you're like this. We've got a little app on our phones, and us staff guys at our church, there's Brother Tony and there's 10 assistant pastors, and we're all 11 of us are in a staff chat thing that we've got going, just some app called GroupMe. And Brother Curtis oversees a number of things for us, organizes our staff meetings and whatnot. He's just very good at organizational things. So he oversees all of our meetings, and he does a lot of our social media pushes around youth rally and whatnot. And he said it was, I guess, probably last Sunday. Well, no, I'm sorry. Probably Monday or Tuesday that he took a picture of something, I guess, off of Instagram or it was Facebook or something. He took a screenshot of it. And he put it in the staff chat, and he just said, hey, guys, I thought all of you would get a blessing out of this. And Robin Ryman said, here's a picture of my son standing at the end of our driveway.
Yeah, amen.
Pastor Ryman, what's their oldest boy's name? What's Chris's?
Brian.
Brian? Said, Brian is waiting on the bus. Our t-shirts were red, and we did a whole Spartan theme, and it had the Spartan helmet on it, and it said Resolved. And he's standing there, and it's from a far distance. You can just see he has on a red shirt. Sister Robin said, My son wore his youth rally shirt. He was down in North Carolina last weekend with them. Said my son wore his youth rally shirt to school today. And as he was leaving, he grabbed his Bible and looked at Mama and said this: I can't remember why I quit carrying this to school. But you know what? He came to youth rally, got stirred up, and he just said this: start carrying my Bible back to school.
Amen.
He said, what do I need to do? Write Jesus across my forehead and just walk down the halls tomorrow? Sure, that'd be awesome. Why don't you just pick your Bible up? We would like that. By the way, put that on social media. I'd love it, okay? But you know what you might need to do? Grab your Bible and just take it with you tomorrow. Because let me tell you what, that Bible to me, I try to keep it close. I mean it. I try to have it in my briefcase, backpack, my computer backpack. I try to keep it with me if I'm in an office setting, if I'm on an airplane. I try to always have it close. Because it might just do you some good to realize that if you're going to laugh at that dirty joke, you're going to do it right in front of that Bible, which is what? That's Jesus, man. It may help some of you just to take it with you and pick it up and just carry it in the lunchroom and set it down while you sit there and eat your food. Because it's going to be a whole lot harder to blow that testimony in front of that King James Bible. And you can change your definition today. You can change it. You can change it. You can change it by just what you're putting on social media. You can change it by just who you're texting, who you're hanging out with. Do it all. I could go on and on. Definition. You can get a new one today. Jonah's changed. Jonah's changed. Not just a second chance on your definition, but a second chance in your direction. I think I've kind of made my point. I won't go much longer. But if the Lord has worked on your heart this weekend, then I would just encourage you is this: pick some things to change some directions on.
Yeah.
And come back. Look here. Look here. You may have changed directions so many times, but God's giving you a fresh start right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's time. It's time for that decision. It's time for the Lord to take your life and to use it, young people. The false idea that youth rally is just a time to just go get stirred up one more time and then go back. And trying to go and just always live off of the high of these things, I'm telling you right now. Can I tell you that, let me give you a little secret. Did you know what I preached from this morning? I preached from the Bible.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Am I making this complicated? Look here, I preach from the Bible. If you've got a Bible, would you hold it up for me today? You got it.
Yeah.
You got it, man. I mean, you have everything that you need. That word of God will tell you how to live. That's the direction you need to go. Do you understand me? Listen to me. That word of God has everything in it you need to thrive spiritually for God. That when I read the book of, listen, when I read the story of Jonah and I tell you about second chances, that is just in the word of God. And it is a man of God that God gave a second chance to, and you may need that today. Look here. Change direction. Change direction. It's time for you to change direction and just start getting back to what the Lord has you to do. Take that testimony back. Live for God. This is not complicated. Take that testimony back and live for God. Are you going to have to overcome that flesh? Are you going to have to say, yes, I know this will not always be easy, but it will always, always, always be worth it to those who are living in Nineveh and need a Jonah. You'll get on a bus. You head home today. Some of you are home. And tomorrow, you know what you need to do? Just grab your Bibles and go to school.
Amen.
That'll be a change of direction for you. Look here, that'll be a change of direction for you.
Right.
And it's just time for you to do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say there's no piano. Nope. God's just up here at the altar if you want to come talk to him, though. Hey, teenagers, there's no piano this morning. I know it. But you know what? It's okay. Maybe we just need to be still before the Lord for just a minute.
Amen.
It's time for me to change some directions. It's time for me to change my definition. You say, why do you push the altar so much? Because it's a good place to come. You got to kill your flesh to get out of your seat, number one. That's a good place to start. But then number two, you know what it is? It's a place to come and say, I'm putting a stake in the ground. I'm making a decision. God, I'm going to do things differently. Lord, I love you. I know God has been a good youth rally. And I pray for the decisions right now that are being made on this altar, Lord. Thank you that, God, we can be still and know that you're God. And God, as we're in this quiet moment, Lord, may we realize that, Lord, you're coming by these hearts right now. And God, you're talking to them saying, yep, another second chance. You need it. I know it. Another second chance. Lord, no doubt there are some on this altar that right now, they're just thanking you for the second chances you've given them, Lord. That's me, God, and I need many second chances even at this moment. But, Lord, I do want to take a moment and say, thank you for all the second chances you've given me again and again and again and again. God, may we never forget that Nineveh is out there and they need a Jonah. God, may we never forget that Nineveh is out there and they need a Jonah. God, and we love you and we praise you. Thank you for our second chances, Lord. Thank you for our second chances. Thank you that you are a God of second chances. I love you and praise you.